debt. It keeps you tossing and turning at night. You can't get away from it. But the truth is, the system is designed to trap you in debt. Insanely high interest credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. There's a new way out of the debt trap, Pivotal Debt Solutions. Pivotal Debt Solutions isn't like the old school debt relief companies that string your debt out for years. They have aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. Pivotal Debt Solutions can cut or even eliminate interest. Find programs to write off your balances so you owe less. Stop those threatening phone calls, and without bankruptcy and without a loan. Bottom line, they find every solution possible to end your debt permanently. Before you do anything, contact Pivotal Debt Solutions first. Talk to them for free. Find out how fast they can help you get out of debt. Visit zapmydebt.com. That's zapmydebt.com. Zapmydebt.com.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Here's my favorite rant for the day, excerpted from our podcast, which you can find over at TomHartmann.com.
Paul in Woodinville, Washington. Hey, Paul, what's on your mind today?
Tom, something occurs to me about the Second Amendment and the Supreme Court decisions.
Pre-Heller?
In 1876 and 1980, there were really only three cases in the Supreme Court that, and these dates are important. In 1876, the court, this is the Morrison-Waite Court, and Chief Justice Morrison-Waite found in a case called United States versus Cruikshank that the Second Amendment applied only to the federal government. Actually, the First and Second Amendment were meant to restrict the powers of the federal government. In 1939, in United States versus Miller, upheld the National Firearms Act. And
which banned machine guns?
The ultra-conservative James Clark McReynolds, saying that restricting guns, such weapons as sawed-off shotguns or requiring licensing fees for them was not a breach of the second infringement of the Second Amendment. In 1980, in Lewis versus the United States, Chief Justice Warren Burger upheld the 1975 Firearms Control Act, and that's the important part. It was in 2002 that the Cato Institute trumped up, so to speak, a lawsuit to take to court to overturn the 1975 Firearms Control Act.
Right.
And that's what led to Heller versus D.C. The Cato Institute went out searching for plaintiffs. They found six of them. Ultimately, only one, Heller, was found to have standing. But the point is this, is that we talk about, including Sheriff Mack, they're talking about, we always hear about the original intent of the founding fathers, or the Second Amendment and Scalia's decision, in particular, McDonald versus Chicago, because in Heller, found an individual right where the 1975 Firearms Act did not, and was upheld by in 1980 by Chief Justice Warren Burger. But then they in 2010, McDonald versus Chicago was where Samuel Alito incorporated the 14th Amendment into the Second Amendment. Well, it occurred to me just last week that, wait a minute, if they incorporated the 14th Amendment into the Second Amendment, by definition, that's not original intent, is it?
Right. Yeah, because the 14th Amendment was not passed until after the Civil War. It's
exactly.
Also, you know, Morrison Remick.
And those three previous cases, in Cruikshank, Miller, and Lewis, those were also post-14th Amendment where no individual right was found. And you don't see that the Scalia's decision overturned or referred to either of those cases. They just plain made it up.
Yeah, they ignored them. Although they didn't in the dissent, by the way.
No, that's true.
John Paul Stevens' dissent is breathtaking. And Morrison Remick Waite certainly understood this when he was, on the Supreme Court in the 1880s. And when Warren Burger ruled in 1975. He went on to say in another venue, with a speech or an interview, that the whole idea that the Second Amendment was passed so that we could be armed to fight against our government, or the whole idea that there was an individual right within the Second Amendment, these two concepts, which were both being promoted at that time by the National Rifle Association, represented, and I quote, a fraud against the American public.
And those concepts were put forth in the courts of appeals. Some of the justices or judges in the courts of appeals, when the original Heller case went to federal district court, right, it was dismissed. And then in the court, one of the judges in the court of appeals, the D.C. Court of Appeals, reiterated just what you're talking about, that it was to fight against a tyrannical government and so on.
Right.
So it was actually reiterated by the court.
Right, this right of rebellion that was created in 1960 by a law student at William and Mary.
Right.
It's bizarre. It's absolutely bizarre. Paul, thank you for the history lesson and for the very, very tight summation of the Supreme Court history of the Second Amendment. I appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Carol in Manesson, Pennsylvania. Hey, Carol, you wanted to get to the Waffle House conversation?
Yes, hi, and I'm glad you're going to take care of your voice.
Thank you.
We can't have a day without our education.
Yeah,
I was very distressed over the weekend that, first of all, I want to say that Mr. James Shaw, Jr., is a true hero, and I don't throw that term around very often.
This is the young African-American man who stepped out of the bathroom and disarmed the shooter.
That's amazing. And what really got me over the weekend was the president tweeting all kinds of nonsensical, hateful tweets about everybody, Comey, you name it, during the funeral of Barbara Bush. But the one thing he never tweeted about was Mr. James Shaw being a hero and giving the thoughts and prayers to the family of the victims. I thought that was just so crass.
Well, the victims were all black, and the shooter was white, and James Shaw was black, so I didn't expect to hear Donald Trump praise him or show any empathy whatsoever for the victims. I mean, this is no surprise to me.
No, he didn't. And I was browsing Twitter this morning, and Amy Siskin said pretty much what I just said to you.
Yeah.
And I tweeted her back and said, I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
Because I think it was just terrible that he didn't say something. So I'm here to give him an oral medal.
There you go. There you go. Thank you, Carol. Good to hear from you, and thanks for watching Free Speech TV. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
There is a fair amount of news, and at the very top of this list, Lee Fong has an amazing piece over at The Intercept about John Bolton spreading anti-Muslim hate.